to look at our life, our fellowship, our responsibility to the Lord, to what He's doing. It's not something we continue to just talk about without it becoming a reality in our lives, or else it's only theory. And I know we've been, at least I have been, rejoicing in how the Lord has been speaking to my own heart and how I've shared these things with you and some of the small areas that we've been talking about. I think we need to look back, if it's only briefly, for maybe a couple of, maybe 2 weeks, 3 weeks, ever how it is, maybe longer, I don't know, but to look back and see what this, all of this fellowship and what this responsibility is and where it finds its consummation. And of course, we're talking about the body of Christ, of which I feel tonight that those of you sitting here that know the reality of His life, you realize that you are a member of that body. Scriptures tell us in Ephesians 4 that there is one body. There's one spirit. These are things that we know. This is not something that's new to us. The working out of it, unless we truly have a spiritual awareness and revealing to our hearts, will always be just outside of our reach. We may know facts about it, but if we can move into it with a loving desire in our hearts to see the purpose of God worked out. Because, you know, we can become legal in the working out, or we can become loving. Everything that God is doing is, as we have already read, we should be easily entreated. We should be gentle with each other. So it's not something that we should become legal about. Everything that God is doing is not forcing us. Everything that God is doing is leading us. Stop and think about that. That's why you see the illustrations of what God is doing. When He is likened to the great shepherd is one that leads. He's not one that drives. I've had probably the privilege of seeing goats herded and sheep herded both. Maybe you have too. And there's a distinct difference. The goats, the man is behind driving them. He's got a nice whip there, and man, he's keeping them in line. And the sheep is completely different working. Even though there are aspects of watching out over the sheep that sometimes we do not like, because if a sheep goes astray and is not willing to come under the training of the shepherd, then certain things have to take place so that they will not take and run off and get lost. When you start to look at the responsibility of those that God has put in the church as overseers, and you see their responsibility and their qualifications, sometimes it's only things that we're grasping, theory that we're grasping. But we need to see more than theory. We need to see why. We need to see the purpose. We need to be discerning, a people that are moving with knowledge, because it's very important. Jesus said it very clearly, and the Old Testament also says it, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. And more as I come in contact with different aspects of the body of Christ, I see that there is a lack of knowledge. And so they cannot move. They cannot move with purpose. And we need to move with purpose. We need to know where we're at right now. We need to have some concept in our hearts of what God wants. And we need to see it by the Spirit. And then we need to move with purpose and prayer to see whatever God wants to do here in this area. Because that's what we're talking about, this area here, right? I think when we came up here, how long ago has it been?
3 years.
July, 3 years. We came up with one purpose, to see what God will do. Mm-hmm. And I believe God is working. But we came up to see God bring a people together as a living testimony of His presence and reality in this local area. We did not come up just to start some program or something like that, but we came up to where we can be fed through the Word, that we can see clearly, that we can move clearly, that we can move with purpose. And there's many things that have to transpire before we can ever see the church really come into the order that God has designed, where we can say that we're functioning. That does not mean that we are not part of the body of Christ. There's only one body, and if you are a child of God, you are a member of that body. And you have a responsibility in your relationship with God as far as the expression of that one body. But we need to see what it is. We need to see the purpose that God has for us as gathering together as His body. We need to know how it functions. We need to know the requirements of those that God would raise up or bring in for leadership. Other words, we will just be overjoyed when anybody shows up rather than really... And we can. I mean, that's no joke. And we are thankful people. I believe we are. I don't think we're in any way critical with anybody. But I mean, as we come along, when people come in, if they come in and they're not willing to come out of sin, and we just accept them because they're here, we need to know what God's standards is without being legal. Feel you can do that? Can you be in love without being critical and still be absolute as God is? You can only do it if you're moving in the Spirit. But you must. In other words, we're not true to the Word that's already been spoken. We're not true to the revelation that has been pinned down for us. And so thus, in our hearts, if we do not see clearly and we're uncompromising, then pretty soon the standard of God will come and the witness of God will no longer be. Now, we're moving towards a witness. That does not mean that your life is not a witness. It is. But we're moving towards a corporate witness. I believe that's what is in most of your hearts, right? Mm-hmm. I hope it is. Mm-hmm. That isn't something that we've tried to hide. That's something that we've been very open with, that we believe. And I believe in the words of Jesus, Father, make them one as we are one, that the world may know that Thou hast sent me. So the greatest witness in the earth today is a people coming together and functioning together in the purpose of God for God's eternal working, because He is working something in our lives as we come together. The church doesn't come together just to have services. That's something I think that's happened over the years, and we get certain names and things that we put on these things. But the church comes together as a functioning organism. Not an organization, an organism. It's alive. Lively stones. We come together to interact in the life of God. We come together to grow. We come together to worship God together. We come together for fellowship. We come together to learn. We're learners, all of us. There's no exceptions in this. I'm a learner. And the more we stay in the learning process, the more we see how much we really need of God. It isn't that we have not attained to a certain place. We have. But the question is, have we even started, when you look at the vastness of what God is doing? Are the working of what God really wants to do as far as oneness? We talk about oneness, and I think that we're touching in. Would you agree with me that we touch in just now and then, and we seem to get a grasp, a little bit of this oneness and this fellowship, and all of a sudden it seems to disappear out of our sight? And then we say, Lord, where did it go? And God's still, I think, working in our hearts here to where we can be brought to a place of maturity in this. In the book of Ephesians, in the fourth verse, chapter 4, there is one body, there's one Spirit. We need to see this now. And only God can show it to you. You can't get this just intellectually. But there is one body that needs to sink down, and we need to ask God Lord, what does that really mean? Because if there's one body, how do I know which one is the body? I know that's the question in many of our hearts at different times. How can I really find the body of Christ? You can't unless you really see. Because the body of Christ is not just the religious groups that we see around us that call themselves the church. They may or they may not be. The question that you have got to answer and the discernment that must be in each one of our heart is, can we actually witness to the headship of Christ in a gathering of people? Are they connected to Him or are they connected to man? If they're connected to Him, I don't care where the growth is, because if they're connected to Him, they're going one way. If they're not, they're going another way. It's just as simple as that. We must realize that God has made provisions. He has given gifts, as it goes ahead and tells us here in the fourth chapter. And those gifts are for a reason. There is a definite working. Not only is the church a witness and is God working, but there is a place that the church plays in each one of our lives. It's a place of learning. It's a place of growth. It's a place of maturity. It's a place to bear responsibility. And we've already talked about responsibility to God, responsibility to each other, responsibility to the world around about us. For that to happen, it's going to take the power of God's Holy Spirit in our lives. Not just theory in our minds. It's going to take the love of God that breaks us down to where we do not criticize, we weep before God for those that do not know Him. And those that are moving in the opposite direction. Can we have compassion, not for the religious people of our day, because you saw how the Lord treated them, talking about those that are in need, those that are hurting, those that have gone off the deep end, those that are hardened by sin. Do we have a place to where we can take and truly weep before the throne of grace? Has it affected that way, us that way? Does the love of God so grip our hearts that we can come before the Lord and we can, as His sons, as His family, we can lay His will before His throne and say, Lord, work it in Your power. Use me. We'll start to see the functioning. We'll start to see the working out. But all of that, and don't get excited. It takes maturity to see as we progress on down. We see at different levels. Sometimes these things are not as important to us at one stage of our growth as it may be in another stage. But ultimately, we're here for God. You're not here for yourself. You're not here to have your needs met. But your needs must be met if you're going to be here for God. And your needs are found in Christ. And our fellowship is in Christ. Our growth is in Christ. In the life of God. A maturing. He goes on here to tell us what that's all about. The full statue of Christ. That there is a growth. There is a function. Now, we also need to see the qualifications. What are the qualifications for those that would be in our midst as equals? Really, see, as we've been talking about. But those that have grace to watch out over our souls. And brothers and sisters, we need some brothers. And I think we're all mindful of this. And it's not just for the sake, but God's order is that His church, if it's going to function properly, we need men that are set aside unto God, that will take the rightful place, that will have care, and they will meet the qualifications. This is not something you just go out and get anybody off the street that you want. And just because they're a male, that, you know, hallelujah, we got a male, we got a man in our midst where he can... No. We need men that are able to function. We need men that are qualified. We need spiritual qualifications. We don't need just men for the sake of having men. And that doesn't mean that the male element is a domineering element in our midst. Christ is the dominating factor in our gathering together. But man plays a place, like we spoke about last week, over there in Corinthians, where it says that Christ is the head of man is the head of woman, and God is the head of Christ. This is the flow. This is the working of God's authority. This is His eternal order. And everything, as we submit to this order, brings us up into the purpose of God, into fullness. We don't lose anything by submitting to God. He lifts us up out of all of this into His eternal purpose. Because everything He's going to find in His end results is going to find consummation in Christ alone. In other words, He's going to fill all in all. And He is in us all, and He is amongst us. And that must be real. That cannot be something that we say without the reality of it. And we must give way for growth. And a lot, sometimes I find that we're our worst critic. And if things aren't going just the way we think they should go, we sit around and criticize ourselves. Do you find yourself there from time to time? We don't think we got it. We don't think this and we don't think that, because we're looking at ourselves. Get your eyes off of yourself. You heard me say it before. Let me say it again. Get your eyes back on Jesus. Let Him fill your vision. Yes, you have needs, and He'll meet your needs. God hadn't brought us together not to meet our needs. He will meet our needs. And I'm sure that there will be, as we progress on, looking to God to bring others in this locality together for His purpose. And I do not dominate. I am here to share. I'm here to share with you. I'm here to care for you and to some extent watch out over you. But I am here to give way to anything that God would bring into our midst. It would be for His glory and for His praise. I'm not stuck. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to worry about somebody shoving me out of the way. I will graciously move out without you even knowing. Because I want God. I want God, what God's doing. Because I know that's the only thing that will function. But I believe that we need to prepare our hearts. We need to give God glory for what He is doing. We need to see the purpose of God clearly, to where we can move with purpose. And then we need to realize that what we're talking about is not just theory, but we must find fulfillment in it. I mean, we got different things that are happening. We got different ones that, you know, are in the verge. Jolie's husband is going to be with us here for too long. He's going to visit us with, I'm sure, right? I'm sure he will. We got others that may be coming, and they may come just for personal fellowship at the moment. We don't know what God's going to do, and we can't dictate to God. But we must know what God is doing. God isn't going to compromise what He's doing just for us here in Hope Sound or Stewart or every way you want to look at it. I mean, we're right on the line kind of where we meet here anyway, but that doesn't make that much difference. We're coming from this area. That's the main thing. And so we're looking. We know what God, or we should know what God's Word says He's doing. He's not doing anything different here than He's doing in China or India. It doesn't make a difference. He's doing the same thing. And the same qualifications for this leadership, this oversight. And if we're going to see it, then we must be prepared. It isn't something that we're just going to move in to say and thank God when somebody comes in and takes over. We must be able to recognize, because if you do not recognize it, that it will have no meaning to you. You must recognize what God's doing. You must recognize God's provisions. It's very evident in the Word of God. I mean, if you studied anywhere in the Word of God, you see that Paul, admonishing the different ones that he was working with, recognize those that are in your midst as leaders and teachers. Recognize them. Another place in Hebrews, he tells us to submit and obey those that are watching out over your soul. Tremendous responsibility. And tonight, this gathering is not in what we would say the order of God. We do not have eldership. I'm not functioning as an elder amongst you. I'm here as a brother to teach us, to encourage us, and to see God bring His church together. I believe this is what He wants to do. I believe this is what He is doing. He must add to that. We must see that. This isn't something we can add to. God must add. We can invite different ones, but unless God really moves in hearts, they're not going to be a part of what He's doing. He adds to the church daily as those that are being saved. No different in the early days of the church than it is today. He must add to. We must see what God is doing. We must see also the qualifications. We have enough trouble with those that are qualified. Would you say amen to that? How do you know? Paul was having trouble too. Listen to what he says in the book of Acts. I think it's in the 20th chapter. What was the exhortation to the elders at Ephesus? First exhortation he says, first words out of his mouth, take heed unto yourself. And then to the flock that God has put you amongst as overseers. And where did he say some of the trouble is going to come? He said they're going to rise up right in your midst. Now this is ones that really have a place and they're recognized. But they're not a group that's between us and the head. The body, everyone is connected to the head. We don't go through a set of men to the head. We're not directed by a priesthood that is separate from the head. We all are priests. Whether you're male or female, you're a priest before God. You're part of the family of God. We need to realize these things. We don't need to get arrogant or unsubmissive, but truth sets us free. And that's the thing that we need to realize. Qualifications. Because the working in the body of Christ, as we've said time and time again, I don't know whether we fully appreciate it or not, but the working is a spiritual working. So there must be spiritual oversight to be sure that it's the Spirit that's working. It's not man that's working. And you can't look around you and say that you do not see man working. Man is working. And we can't look around and become critical in our spirit. We must stay loving and believing and a living witness to that reality. If not, we become those with a cause to fight a purpose rather than to live the life of God and to be one as God has designed. Pretty narrow road that we walk, isn't it? You can only walk there by the Spirit. But I believe that that's what God has called us to do. I believe it's clear as it's laid out for us in the Word. Then we move on into God being with us. We've recently looked at that area. The manifestation of the Spirit. Now, we're not talking about the manifestation of the life of God now. We're talking about manifestation of the Spirit that's going to profit all of us. That's there to allow us to move as a body in a spiritual manner. In other words, if we're going to move in a spiritual manner, we're going to have to move by the Spirit. That means that we're going to have to move when God moves. We're going to have to work when God works. We're going to have to be able to sense the Spirit of God. And he says that he will be with us. And there are certain manifestations that set forth in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. We all are well aware of those, I'm sure. Sometimes I don't think we know how they're working. I know Paul from up there in Minnetonka, or where it is up there. Is that where it's at, Minnetonka? He called me the other night. He said, man, the fellow called all the brethren to the front. And he said, now all of you speak in tongues and sing unto the Lord in tongues. Well, it might sound good to you, but I know immediately something's wrong. We have instruction, right? What is it for? Paul lays out, by the Spirit, he lays out what the gifts are for. Paul says, and if you want just a little explanation of this, and that's what I shared with Paul as he called me on the phone. He was upset about it a good bit. I said, listen here. Paul said, if you sing in the Spirit, sing with your understanding also. They're not singing with their understanding others. No. They're just singing. And they're like a bunch of those at the Tower of Babel. Nobody knows what's happening. And that's what you're like a bunch of infidels that are blabbing away. And you may say, well, they're speaking in tongues. God is not a God of disorder. God is a God of order. When God moves, he moves to glorify himself. There's a difference between getting the flesh excited and causing our spirits to worship. Amen? Hello? We must know the difference. We must be in touch with the Lord. Now, as I say, what God is doing here, we're being brought to a certain place of responsibility, a place of maturity. Don't despise that. As we learn, as we progress, as we take steps, as we're involved with one another in a working, we're growing. And it's so that we will not be deceived. And we still, with all of that, we still need God's provisions for overseers. We need ministers that will establish us, ground us, settle us in truth. We don't need just one man. We need a plurality of this. I'm well aware of this. I know I'm praying that God will give us, and it's His pattern, it's His design, so I don't have to take and tell God how to do it. I just, Lord, I want to enter into what You're doing. We know that this is the way You have designed, and we know this is what's going to glorify You. This is what's going to give us that balance that we need in our midst, to where we're not looking to man, but we're really looking to the Spirit of God, because what God gives us, the gifts that God gives us, are going to get us to respond to God, not to them. Do we know the difference between responding to God and responding to each other? Because we have to respond to each other. Now, are we doing it as unto the Lord? Are we hearing God? Are we responding in life? Are we alive in God? Are we just responding to facts? Or responding to suggestions? Are we really hearing God? Because that's the only way we're going to grow spiritually, is if we're hearing God, if we're responding to God. Glory. Don't tell me that when God speaks to you, you don't know it. And don't tell me you'll forget it. Carol's learning this. Isn't it what? Don't tell me that, man, you're in love with somebody and he speaks to you and you forgot what he said. You just can't tell me that. I don't care what you're telling me tonight. You can't tell me. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't, from time to time, take a few little notes, because I don't know whether it's me growing old or whether it's just the nature of us, that sometimes we forget certain things that we'd like to remember. I know this is a fact, that a lot of times in my time of prayer, a thought will come and it will be almost like a light flashing. And if I don't get that down, it's gone. It may come back. And I've seen it come back maybe the next day or two or three days down the line. But if you just drop that down there and make a note of it and meditate upon it, then it's yours. Sometimes it's not that way. So there's nothing the matter, and I don't think, if I might use Carol here tonight, there's nothing the matter with taking notes, but notes can never substitute for our love affair with Jesus. Glory? So this don't condemn ourselves for taking notes, and this don't think that we're spiritual because we don't take notes. Glory? Amen? But when you're in love, when God speaks, you're going to know what He says. Sometimes we like to get it all, and only God's saying one thing to us. You realize that? I may come here with 1 hour of constant bombarding you, and God's only saying one thing. I realize that. I don't know whether you do or not. He may say two things to you. He may say three things. You may be in a situation tonight that God's able to speak a number of different things to you, and you may say, praise the Lord, God really met my needs. Amen. Another person, but God may only speak one thing to us. But we need to hear God. And when we hear Him, we're going to know Him in it. And I don't think that we're going to be quick to forget it. Right? Lori? So let's encourage each other in that area. But this is a place of spiritual growth. I was determined, because I heard all of the thing, memorize, memorize, memorize. I said, Lord, do I memorize? And I just felt that God didn't want me to memorize. So I never sat down and memorized anything. I've used it so many times it becomes mine. I don't know, I like it this way better. Maybe other people would criticize me about it, and I'm not criticizing them. What I'm saying is, I do not memorize. I want God to speak to me enough times to where it's mine. That's reality. I have grasped it. I have taken, experienced it. And then I can't lose it. It's mine. But if I just memorize it, I may get a little senile and forget it. But you don't forget that experience with God. Glory? It's real in our lives. What I'm saying is, God wants to move in our midst. There's much areas that I know we're looking for experiencing this working. We're interested in experiencing the working of the Holy Spirit in our midst. God moving by the Spirit in our midst to bring us what we need to move in a spiritual manner. We're not talking about now your individual working. We're talking about the church. In other words, He has given these gifts to the church. They function, the Holy Spirit in you can function and use the provision that He's given in your individual witness. He can give you knowledge about certain situations that can only come from God. He can give you the wisdom. He can give you the discernment of what spirit you're dealing with in dealing with others. But these gifts mainly have been given to the church. So you must see the working out on an individual basis, and you must also see the working out on the corporate basis of the church. These gifts that are given are manifestations of the Spirit. Don't forget that. These are not just some gifts that God bestows on us. These are manifestations. If they're real, they're manifestations of the Spirit. That's not cheap words. I know what's been done with it. I know all of the degrading of spiritual gifts and what's happening in the last, let's say, 60 or 70 years. Let's take a look at the Pentecostal group, and we see what has happened to it. And we're not here to criticize it. We're just to say, this don't go that way. Because they have degraded it. They give no place for God to move in their midst. We must always be open for God to move in our midst. When He moves in our midst, then we need to be able to discern whether it's God or not. It needs to be under the supervision of those that watch out over our soul. Because it's very, very easy for somebody to come in and say, yea, yea, thus saith the Lord. And we say, well, that must be God. I dare not touch that. Everything is to be judged. Go ahead. In the proper way. And God has made provisions for that. He tells you right there in the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. He tells you the provision that He's made as far as judging it. And it doesn't mean that you stand up and you have a tribunal and you make a big thing out of it. But it's either of God or it's not of God. Either it's the wrong spirit or it's the Holy Ghost. If God is speaking, we need to deal with it, right? If God is speaking to us. If He's not speaking to us, then we need to get it out of the way to where nobody's confused. The Holy Spirit doesn't move and confuse us. We would all agree to that, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't always understand, but if there's the witness that God has spoken and we wait and we know there's a witness that He has spoken, then we'll see the results of what God has said. Because when God speaks, we don't have to worry about it not happening. It will happen. I remember years ago down in Jamaica, prophecy came through myself. They gave a woman 1 year to straighten her house up. Get your house in order. You have 1 year. Terrible word. I mean, it shook me. I mean, you know what? What do I say this, Lord? Do I openly declare this? And I did. God finally... You know, prompted me to say it, and I said it. And, of course, the woman knew exactly who she was. And, beloved, whether you want to believe it or not, she died to the very year after that was brought. She had 1 year to get her house in order. To the day, she moved on. Now, whether she did or not, I do not know. But I know that this is how God can move in certain areas. The main thrust of God's presence in our midst, and the spiritual gifts are for the building up, for the comfort and exhortation of the body of Christ. They're not to be judgmental as such, but that doesn't mean that a prophet cannot manifest a spirit of prophecy that would bring judgment. But the gift of prophecy that is in the midst is the spiritual working is really to build us up and to encourage us and to comfort our hearts. God is in our midst. Now, where those that are not moving in the Spirit need to be cared for as the shepherd would care for somebody that's running here, or that is things that are not seen openly by the gathering, God would reveal it. This is a different working, and it's done in a different manner. And we need to be careful about it, because it isn't just, you just can't do what you want to in the house of God. In the Old Testament, the prophet that what he said didn't come to pass. You know what they did with him? Stoned him. Of course, we're not in the Old Testament. Praise the Lord, right? Huh? Thank God for grace. Thank God for his long suffering. We can make a mistake. That shouldn't put fear in our hearts. That shouldn't put fear in the brother's hearts not to step out and be used by faith. But brother, when we declare something, sisters, when we declare something and say, thus saith the Lord, we better be very careful. Because if it didn't come to pass, it's not of God. When God speaks, it comes to pass. And so that's why it's so important to see the foundation of what God is doing. To see the qualifications of those that God is working through, that gives you confidence. Do you realize that? Do you realize that you need it where you can trust, where you can, a certain person, brothers and sisters, you have gained confidence in their eyes and you have gained confidence in them to where it's not just a surface relationship, but there is integrity in our lives. We're moving and our lives prove out that we're moving in the direction that we're saying we're going. In other words, if we say we're going one way and you look at us and we're going another way, you know what happens? You don't have too much trust. You don't put any value on what that person is saying. And pretty soon, there's no binding together in the love of God. It's important. Very important that we see the qualifications and that we see the qualifications of a brother that is in a place of oversight or watching out over or ministry to have those qualifications manifested in his life. If they're not manifested, then don't talk about it that he's qualified. And you can't read those qualifications in 1 Timothy and Titus of leadership or oversight or ministry in the midst and not get the awesomeness of it, of God's holiness. This is a demand of God. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, when we look at that, I know that you say, well, I can't. It isn't what you can do, it's what God can do. Peter said, be ye holy, for I am holy. In other words, it's because God is holy. Who is the righteous man? Can you tell me that right quick? Who is the righteous man? Simple scripture. Righteous, right? Yeah. Who does righteousness? No, who does righteousness? Can we determine what is righteous and what is not? It says the righteous man is the one that does righteous acts, that is upright, that is righteous. In other words, if we say one thing and do something else, we're sure not righteous. In other words, our walk must match up to our talk. I know you've heard those expressions before, but that must be a reality if we're going on. If we can't just talk about certain things. We can't talk about concepts. We are what God is doing. And we must be involved in it. And I think we become more serious in it, and yet we become more joyous. Because the greater freedom you have, the greater the joy of the Lord and the greater expression of praise and worship to him. Because you know he's there. He's protecting. He's made provisions. You know that you have access to God. You know that God is in our midst. You know that God dwells within you. You know God dwells within each other. Let me just take you quickly to Titus, if I might, tonight. In the third chapter, I want to begin to read around the fourth verse. And when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of the deeds done by us in righteousness, but in virtue of his own mercy. Here's how he did it: by washing of regeneration
and renewal in the Holy Spirit. That's loud and clear. It tells us a whole lot and how God is working, how he brings us back to himself. The washing of regeneration and renewal in the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that we might be justified by his grace and become heirs in the hope of eternal life. This saying is sure. Doesn't that make you want to shout? The truth of it. But then now the reality of it. Because we must witness. We must witness this. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes, we are a group of people that are not here by theory. We are people that know. Why do we know? Because of the Spirit. That doesn't mean that we have all of the knowledge at one time. But we know. The Holy Spirit's there to give us the knowledge that we need. In every situation, every circumstance, sometimes we think, well, what do I do? We become fearful, and how do I react here? Well, I think some of you have realized that God is there, God is present, and he knows just how to meet your need, and he knows just how to give you the words to say. Amen? Isn't it wonderful? Don't you feel good when you have entrusted even these areas to God and he has never let us down? It's wonderful. So, we're united tonight in one whole. That whole is being expressed in individual, not bodies, there's only one body. Individual localities, that one body is being expressed. It's not based upon culture. It's not based upon language. It's based upon one thing, the life of God. It comes right back to bringing us into the importance of our fellowship with God, our fellowship with each other. We are joined together in one whole. We move together in harmony. You say, how come it's not always that way? Well, would you like to read 1 Corinthians, just kind of a assignment? Would you think that's too natural? Took an assignment and read. Just read the first three chapters of 1 Corinthians. And you'll understand a little bit. If you got more than one translation, read them in all translations you have. If you got 10 translations, read them in all. give you a little bit of insight into what I'm saying. And this doesn't mean that we give way and a place for carnality. But that doesn't mean that carnality is not there at different times in our lives. But God doesn't give a place for us to stay carnal. You can't find that. But that doesn't mean that men cannot be moving in more of a natural way than they are a spiritual way. And well, what kind of working does this exemplify? In other words, when I see carnality, do I recognize carnality? There are certain aspects in 1 Corinthians there that's revealed when people are choosing up different men to follow different men, even Christ. We can have a sectarian spirit even in following Christ. Did you realize that? I can show you groups today that are sectarian in their following Christ. They name the name of Christ, but it's no more than if they're following Paul. It's the same spirit. They're legalistic in their propagation of the gospel. We are to be, and don't take this too lightly, we are to be a living witness. That means alive. Something got that has to be flowing through us. Glory. Something that the world can discern, even though they're not spiritual. What is that? Love. Right? They knew they'd been with Jesus. Why? Because they loved one another. And of course, we've already gone over what love's again. I'm not going over again tonight what love does. But brothers and sisters, this don't sell it short. It will do just what God said it would do because it is God. But we cannot be those that just come and learn facts. It must walk out in our feet. That means our life. We must start to enjoy what God's doing. If you're not enjoying it, keep on doing it and keep on doing it until you do enjoy it. Because God's design is that you enjoy Him. You enjoy each other. What did Jesus say when He left? My joy I give unto you. Come on. Would you agree with this? Now sometimes things don't seem so joyous, but keep on at it until the joy starts to overflow. Because God has said, I give you my joy. Is there something blocking? Why I'm telling you, you keep on doing it? Because I know that you can get tied up emotionally and intellectually, and you need to press on until you come through those areas into the joy that God has given you. Amen? Come on. I don't have any joy. And keep on keeping on until you get joy. You say, that's mechanical. Nothing mechanical about it. There's only one thing that's hindering, and that's you. That's hindering the flow of that joy. You may not know it at this time. I may not know it, but I can say tonight that I've proven it. Not one time, but two or three times. And I know if you keep pressing, you keep doing those things that you think are mechanical, all of a sudden you burst out into the sunlight of His love and the joy of the Lord. Everything in this walk is not easy. Everything in the working of the body of Christ is not easy. In other words, we wouldn't need all the provision that God has given to us. Just some of the ones that I've named tonight, we wouldn't need it. We just float on in, man. All we need to do is just accept Jesus Christ, and man, we're going to float on in victorious. And why has He made all of these provisions for our care, for watching out over us, where we be not deceived, that He's going to be in our midst and He's going to give us understanding, discernment? Why has He given all of this if everything is all easy and we just float around like angels on clouds? Some people are deceived, that man. He'll never give us more than we're able to bear. That's a promise. But with that, you can realize that there's a lot that comes on us. In this world, you shall have tribulations. Where are you going to get it from? Where did Jesus say you're going to get it from?
Your family?
And that's why He said, if you love father and mother, sister, brother, more than you love me? Where else are you going to get persecution from? The religious aspect in the world today, you're going to get persecution. If they love you, you know you're on the wrong way. Is that right? Sometimes we're looking for love so bad that we'll accept anything. Come on. I know it's true. But He said, if they hated me, they will hate you. He said, when I come, I'm going to bring a sword. I wish I was going to bring peace. That's what we think. Well, I thought He'd brought peace. He said, when I come, I'm going to bring a sword. Where's He going to bring it? Right in your home. Now, what does the sword mean? It means that when He comes in life, there's no longer any fellowship with those that are not in that life. That doesn't mean that He wants your family to go away. You need to pray and look to the Lord that God would save all of our families, right? And bring them into the life of God. Not just taking by the washing of regeneration as far as washing their sins, but that the renewing of the Holy Ghost in their lives. So we need to know what God, we need to know what He's doing, we need to know the purpose of God, we need to move with faith, because there's one thing that we need to realize. You know what it is? You can read the book of Hebrews and you come to one conclusion. There's something that controls man. ultimately controls him. What is it?
The natural enemy?
No, what controls any person that's in the life of God? What ultimately controls him? I'm more or less looking for a scriptural basis. It has to be the Spirit of God working. There's no question about that. And that's the ultimate. But what is the ultimate behavior? Where do we come to a place? What overcomes the world? See? So if we move in faith, ultimately we must come to the fullness of God's purpose if we're moving in faith. We can't say, well, I'm having faith, and it's not bringing us to God's purpose. If we're moving in faith, it must have one expression. And that's what we need to see. That's what we need to expect. And we need to be believing. And we don't need to be on the edge of our seat. In other words, our life is Christ. Right? Our joy is Him. Our fellowship He has given us with Him and with each other. Now, we need to be identified with what He's doing. We need to be caught up with our prayer time of seeing that come into expression without compromise. Have I given you any understanding at all of what I'm trying to say here tonight is the importance of that we are moving in the direction of seeing more of what God is doing? We may know about these things. We may know about the church. But we need to be firmly grounded and settled in the truth. That when we enter into it, we're not going to be those that are just taken up with our own thinking about how it works. We know what God's Word says, and the Spirit of God is there to lead us and to guide us. Amen. You still hearing me, Roberto? Are you still hearing me? I haven't stayed up? Somewhat, huh? Excuse me. We'll have to get that earphone fixed.
I'm still here a little with it, but if I send it to be fixed, I will hear less.
Damn it. I'm reminded in one thought tonight before as we close. Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. The one thing that stood out to me this week was His words to her. If thou knowest the gift of God, thou would have asked of Him. Glory. Tremendous. If thou knowest the gift of God, that would have asked of Him. That was eternal life. That was the waters of life that was going to flow. She had something to drink, but it was passing away. Hallelujah. If thou knewest. Now, do we know what God's going to do? Do we see the importance without taking the preeminence from Christ? Because when you identify with the body of Christ, you're identifying with Christ. Because you're connected to the head. It's not something separate from Him. You don't give preeminence to the body separate from Christ, the head. He's in control. And that's what makes us the body. When we're under His control. So may God help us and strengthen us in these times to see more clearly. As I said, we'll try to bring a little more understanding in these areas for the next maybe week or two. To see more clearly, if you have any questions about it, why, feel free to jot them down and just look at them and ask. But I see the importance of asking and knowing and really letting God speak to us. Because if we don't, we'll go off in our own ways and we'll get to where we don't even ask questions. We don't even care. We just take things for granted and we let things slide over. And it doesn't do a good work in our hearts. God is absolute. Don't you find that? Do you find that in your own life that God is absolute? You're not going to change God, right? You can plead with Him and talk to Him and pray with Him for 10 years about something. You're not going to change Him. He doesn't change. But He's going to change you. He's going to change me. Glory.
That's the most important thing. Glory. Amen. You got any questions tonight? What was said?